welcome to Paranormal Gateway Hero Talk. I'm the host, Scott Wise, and joining me tonight is Michael Todd, Jerry Hampton from Spook Earth Paranormal. Michael is the founder and lead investigator for Spook Earth Paranormal. He has been investigating a paranormal for over 15 years. His main purpose in starting in this field was the honest desire to help anyone who might be experiencing a strange or unusual phenomenon in their home, business, or historic location. It is without cost or obligation to a potential client. Michael is back for a second time joining me, and from his team, Jerry is joining us tonight also. Michael was presenting some of his recent evidence captured from investigation and talking a bit about EVPs and the audio evidence investigation techniques, and Jerry, who recently penned a story about UFO sightings. This brochure material is currently on Amazon and it is also available on Kindle. It's called Ghost Encounters and UFO Invasion of Southeast Missouri. So without further ado, let's welcome Michael and Jerry to the show.
Hey, good evening.
Thanks good evening, gentlemen.
Thank you so much for having me.
I have my notes. I got to print them out because I can't read off the computer.
I drove myself
something. We'll start off like we usually do with guests and how you got into paranormal. Was the experience you had, or is just something you wanted to get involved in?
Well, do you want Jeremy? Which one do you want?
Yeah. Me? Good.
Okay. Yeah. My interest in all of this was back in 1981. I had an incident when I was working as a security guard. And late one night in mid-January of 1981, I was working in this building called the Soda Furniture Factory. It was been abandoned for several years. And there'd been rumors rampant the place was haunted, and which I didn't, back those days, I didn't give it any thought. In a nutshell, I was going through this one particular area, and they stepped into this room called the packing room, and they finished the product and they shipped it downstairs to pack it off. I was not expecting it. I was not asleep. I was wide awake. I stepped into that doorway. A male shadowy figure ran right in front of me. I mean, from right to left.
Yeah.
And it was huge. And this was one of those things where you go, what just happened? I looked, and back in those days, no cell phones. I couldn't call for help. I had a flashlight. And I yelled at security guard who's in here. But this figure ran to, nothing. Vanished. And since that night, when I saw that, I did some research on it. There'd been a murder committed outside in a boxcar between two transients, come to a space fight, basically. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, one of them was murdered the other one with a kingpin, with both feet falling, hitting the beating with it. And they believe to this day that's what I saw with one of these men. And so from that moment forward, I took an interest in the paranormal, and I decided to, eventually around where I formed my own group, where I could help people out there in the world who might be experiencing strange things and, help them resolve it, regardless of whatever the problem may be, just stay with them. No costs involved, and, they get the problem resolved. It takes religious help to do it, but that's what we do, or counseling, and just whatever it takes. We stay with them and work with them. So we're here to believe you and help you. That's our main goal. I've seen the thing, I've finished my stuff, so it's a chore, it really is. It's fascinating.
I started talking with the group I was in, we did a lot of residential cases. We do like 2 months, every other week, and trying to help mine too. But then we got to kind of get out of it and start doing other occasions. It's nice to help people a lot.
A lot of people don't understand. We don't. It's not for profit. We don't make any money doing this at all. We don't ask for money. This is a long run, long term obligation kind of thing. I mean, I stayed one case for nearly 2 years, and it finally got somewhat resolved. But I mean, it's a lot Lots of work. Oh, you got to have a lot of patience, you know. Some places got, you know, resolved within just a short period of time. Some takes a lot of time. But I got in basically to help them. Because it took me a lot of research and soul searching. Like, what in the world did I see in front of me that night? I mean, it was there. I mean, there's no denying it. So I just, it takes time, you know. But it's a learning process, too. So.
But first time I saw that a terror person right in and the door, you know, I got to see him like, whoa. Yeah,
yeah, like, what the heck? What
the, and, the? You know, I always run towards it. I'll run back for it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. That night, I was caught off guard. I mean, the place was huge. It was spooky anyway. It was dark. Of course, I was just a kid then. The other guys were always ragging on me. Ghost is going to carry you away. I said, oh, Boulder Dad, Butterbean, whatever. But it happened. And, I mean, there was no denying it. And it ran right in front of me. Big, black, huge shadow. And, man, I thought there for a minute, I'm done. I think I'm going to have you guys gonna have me for a late night snack or something. Yeah. I was just a skinny kid. I'm a big old heavy kid old guy now. But,
Scooby-Doo!
Yeah, Scooby! Raggy, help! It was an interesting experience.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah. Okay, Jerry, your turn.
Okay. he does a good job to both of us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We, you know, I wrote the book on UFOs. This is something I know about. It was, you know, and it goes back to June 25th, 1973. UFOs are not new or not in my area. I grew up, me and my brother, we witnessed UFOs in the sky over the years, going more. We saw lights at night dancing across the sky, moving across and down, flying sideways. And we didn't pay much attention to it. But one time, KFBS did a segment on UFOs back in the 60s. They were having a lot of UFO activity around Sikeston, Missouri. And I remember seeing that. And then I was about 16. I was watching TV, me and my brother, and they broke in, KFS broke in, said, well, there's a UFO going from the west to the east. Go out there, you can see it. It's traveling at a high speed. And we did. We went out there, and this thing just went like, put your hand here. Just going like that, it went all across the sky. And here's the thing, the world goes east to west. This thing was going west to east. So it was traveling opposite. It was really something. We had at the university at Cape Girardeau, we had a physics professor named Dr. Overreach. And the station, and you know, and he studied UFOs for 40 years in that area. He wrote up several books on UFOs, and one of them was Piedmont, Missouri. Been over a year and a half down there, and there's an area down there deep in the Howard you really couldn't get to, but there were UFOs coming out of it constantly. And he wrote a book about that, and he also set up a group called, Project Identification, which I became a part of it after June 25th. I mean, I was so frightened, you know. It was unbelievable. I mean, I don't scare easy. I do not scare easy at all. But that's one time I got scared. My story starts on June 25th, 19. I lived in Scott City, Missouri. And my wife just had my second boy, and I was so happy and excited. Me and my best friend was coming back from the hospital of Chaffee. And there at a railroad track, we were stopped. It was about 7:30 at night. And, you know, I'm excited. I'm talking about my kid and everything. You know, I'm just so proud I got another son. And Bruce told me, he says, what is that in there? What is that helicopter doing sitting over that tree? Now, there's a tree about 40 yards from the boat where we sat. And I said, I don't know. I kept on talking. You know, I didn't pay no attention. And finally, the train went away. I'm still talking, you know, excited. And all of a sudden, he said, "How come we can't hear the helicopter?" I don't know, you know. So I get out my car like an idiot, walk over to the thing. I look up, and the object has a red and yellow fluorescent orange light glowing out of it, the bottom of it, and it is not making a sound. Over sitting there above the tree, and all of a sudden, I feel like a light wrapped around me, and a magnetic field. All my hair on my body stood straight out and stood straight up. And then I realized it. I don't know what happened after that, but I do remember running back through a cloud field and falling down. And just as I fell down, I remember seeing things beside up a little bit, and then it shot off like that. And that was my first case of really coming close to a UFO. Well, it would upset my buddy so bad he peed his pants. I'm telling you, the hell out.
Wow.
But we both had missing time. We lost 3 hours that day. We got to Scott City. It was almost 10 to 12, and we were sitting there at that track around 8 o'clock. So we lost some time or something. And the thing is, we went and got a case of beer. We drank beer all night. I mean, I was really upset. And then Dr. Rutledge, he started having town hall meetings that day. But the next day, the newspaper had a big write-up about it, and it showed a picture of 13 UFOs at one time in the air.
Wow.
And they said they had over 100 sightings at a night around 50 miles of Cape Girardeau, not Cape even, it was around Sykeston, around Chaffee, around the Oran, some of all the small towns and areas. People had stories to tell. And then I went to where Dr. Edwards had four town hall meetings, and I went to one of them, and I started taking notes. And I remember some of the things that I took notes on. It just blow your mind. You just couldn't imagine what happened in such a short period of time. That's how I got introduced to Dr. Rutledge and the Project Identification.
Wow.
But I wrote the book. It's a small book. It gives the ideal of what happened in a short period of time on June 25th, 1972. Oops. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And Cojin, UFOs invading South Indonesia, and we were invaded. Now, I'm telling you, it's also, I rounded everything out because I had dozens of material on it. And I owned a house down on the river, Mike knows about it, on the Arkansas River in Fort Smith, and the house flooded. Well, hell, a lot of my information got flooded with it. And I had to throw a bunch of it. I couldn't get rid of it. And I found a few more when I went to Missouri. I went down to Missouri here a month ago, and I found a few notes I had down there on some different things on the same subject. So it's interesting about that book. They had everything that happened. I mean, we had cattle mutilations, we had abductions, we had men in black. It's all happened all in a short period of time, within about 5 weeks. Well, when I was doing the book, I went back down to Missouri and see if I could find any of them newspapers down there that had any articles in them. Well, surprisingly, would you believe, every newspaper, 26, and spotted other places for a month and a half, papers were missing. They didn't have the library, they didn't have the newspaper office, they were missing. So isn't that surprising?
Wow. Well, kind of must have upsetting those dollars stuff, though. My God.
What? Do what, Scott?
That was the awful blue star stuff you had.
Well, there was a lot of things happened. I mean, it went on and went on. Dr. Rutledge, eyewitness accounts provided a unique perspective on the extraordinary events. One report of an officer in Rendell, a seasoned police officer, he was stunned at the sight of the information of a glowing orb in the sky, lights moving in perfect together, the movement defined all law of physics, rendering a man of logic, reason, but left complex by the awesome stroke of the sight. Now, that's just one report. There was many others in there. Little did they know that the investigation on that is an extraordinary journey deeper into the realm of UFOs. The opening of doors of unknown, the event of the night would lead into an impeccable mark on the lives and propel them forward into a quest for answers. I was wanting answers. I mean, I went to some of these time hall people. Were there, they were like, felt the same way I did. And we were, some of them really got upset because they couldn't get the answer they wanted. They couldn't understand things happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And this went on. They had four town hall meetings. There were one of them, it's unbelievable. And a lot of these people I actually knew in the area because I lived right there, grew up there.
I remember you telling me back when that flood happened a couple of years ago that you lost a lot of your writings and stuff. I remember you telling me about that.
Well, yeah, I bought a new house on the Arkansas River.
Yeah.
And I could walk right down, and I could tell you, I could walk right down to the river. I had a dock down there, and I could just go fishing off in there anytime I wanted.
This whole area had historic flooding. It was terrible.
But we got hit by a big flood, and I didn't have flood insurance. Didn't help any matters any. And I wasn't supposed to get flooded. We were way up. And they said, yeah, you never get flooded. Well, we got flooded. Things happen,
I guess.
Yeah.
He's like me. We keep notes, reams of paper with notes and dates. That's what you do when you get started, this kind of thing. You want to document everything, you know.
That's what we do. I got like tons of those three ring books for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's me too. So, I got notebooks, I got little notebooks, big notebooks.
Yeah. It's funny, I was going through one of the old ones. It's sort of back like 16, 17 years ago. And one of the residential cases went to all the notes for the people talking and stuff. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah. I found like a couple of my old memory cards from like 15, 14 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
The
other thing was, about doing right now EVPs, like work at 1.20 was, I thought I heard this, and you're not further 1.5, or thought I heard this.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you do, but I know some people, I guess, don't do it, but I mean, I started to, you know, the reading system. You know, the class A is the best. B's good. C's me. C minus doo-doo. D's forget about it. But when I started doing that, I mean, it's much, much easier to isolate them and take them out, you know, and you want people to be able to hear them. But that's it. I got a notebook just pile full of that. You know.
Yeah, I got a 4 terabyte. External drive that I have a lot of stuff on.
Back
10 years ago, got so much stuff.
Yeah, I try to keep my notebooks are all stuck. I got 3 different spots in my little desk. I got my notebooks, my memory cards, and my junk. You know, I even wrote stuff down on like Valentine's Day cards. I was good and I stuck them all in there. What you do?
It's much easier if they have a computer trust.
Scott, what's your idea on UFOs? Have you ever seen one?
What's that?
Have you ever seen a UFO?
No, we never saw one, but at Westinghouse Picture one, one of the guys in our group and another guy, three of us, went up to Centralia in the PA and right over top of the graveyard up in the sky, I think he called something. He noticed it. He called me, he goes, guess what I caught on film, I think. I'm like, what? I'm saying, oh, an angel? I don't know. Is there a graveyard or whatever? And she said, yes, see a picture. So it was, I'd be a bill credit for this in case you watch it. That one would be up central, yeah. It started to rain later, but I'll show this picture. And, I have to present it here real quick.
Well, I have my belief, folks, sorry. I don't know. I cannot say unequivocally one or two with UFO. It might have been a plane. I mean, possible. Oh, okay. Yeah.
See there. Right there.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
I think you see it. I think you see a mineral out. Yeah, like it was right, that's how far it was. And try to zoom up in there, see. God, look kind of yellow, huh?
That's cool, isn't it? Yeah. It's not a plane. That's just one that
has a little
rain cloud, but I mean, it looks like a cigar shape.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's
all
kind of cool.
Thing I saw, you know, again in a nutshell, we all lived in Roland, Oklahoma, and I was working the morning shift at Walmart. I got out of it, probably pushing around 5:30, empty work at 6, I was just cutting up 64 Highway, and over to the left, you know, not a normal flight pattern for a plane. All planes come in from the south, including the 4th. Roland didn't have an airport. But this plane was flying in a different pattern going towards the northern end of Fort Smith. And I said, wait a minute, that whole plane, what is that? And it was just a big kind of a ball of light cruising across that sky there. I got a picture of it somewhere. I buried one of my old camera phones, but I'll have to dig it up sometime. But I can't say it was a UFO. I don't know. But I mean, it sure looked weird. It was not a plane. It was really like it was a plane. Ordinary matter, it did not go. Wasn't a rocket, wasn't a helicopter, you know, wasn't Superman. So I don't know. That was my story. I saw it, and it caught my attention. I was about half asleep, and I got in a room, drank the coffee, and I was like, wait, what the hell? So I grabbed my phone and I snapped a picture of it. Just a kind of a dot of light going across the atmosphere there. I mean, it could have been a star, I mean, possible. But I'd like to think maybe some little green guy, you know, driving around checking us out. So who knows?
All right.
That's my UFO thing.
Yeah. I love hearing about UFOs. Yeah. So. I think I've a comment here. I forgot to do. Kind of, All right.
Well, you know, Dr. Rutledge, he,
Hi, Scott.
One more show, honey. Oh. Say hi, Sharon.
You got back up?
All right. Okay. I'm back.
Dr. Rutledge, I was in a film with him when I was young. We were out there, we were at sea, a lot of ley lines through Southeast Missouri because that's where the fault line, the main fault line that goes across America, parts of it, is right here in the south, goes to New Madrid, Missouri. All the way from Cape Girardeau up to San Luis down. And we were out one night and there were orbs flying all over the place, you know? And he was taking pictures of it. And I remember one of the films, I think. But anyway, it was amazing. And he thanks the reason that they had having so many UFO activity there was the fact that the ley lines and because of the because of the earthquake fault going through that had something to do with it.
That could be.
I've actually heard that theory. Now, that's interesting.
I heard that too, so.
Yeah, it was ley lines all over between Northwest Arkansas and the Missouri up to the Mississippi River. That fault line runs right that way, but it's a nation one that runs from somewhere in Northwest Arkansas down to Fort Smith. This is out somewhere across the river. I'm not sure where, but it's like 20 million years old, they claim. So. But I believe it's ley lines. I really do believe it.
Actually,
yeah.
I think I know fault
went
down from Washington.
Yeah, down towards
Fort Smith, down through that area there.
Yeah, I've studied on that. And if that big one ever went off, it would just shake it all the way up around. Yeah, it would knock out a bit for sure. This is supposed to be a huge ley line, not a fault line.
Huh.
But, you know, Fort Smith, 70 years old. They claim it air to poke up, it flies out, there goes Arkansas, sinking down to towards China or something. You know, but it's possible. But it's, you know.
We had the earthquake of 1812, and everybody knows about it.
Yeah.
But what they don't know, now it was devastating. It sunk. The land dropped down 150, 200 feet, someplace or more.
Run
they had one before that in 1776 and 1778. There was one in 1812. The thing is, there was nobody living except Indians in that area. And after the quakes in 1776, the Indians, it becomes swampland because it's done so far down. The Indians and the indigenous people there, they didn't spend any time around there. Because they
were on the move.
Place.
Right.
Yeah, they were always in the move at that time frame. Yeah. I can only imagine what that must have been like.
I read the most exciting account of that in my life. It's 13 pages of a book that came out in the 1800s. A guy interviewed people from that point in time that were still alive. And these two boys went over to Kentucky. They were hunting. They were like 14, 15 years old, and they tell all about the experiences of these big oak trees sinking down in the ground and all the things, the waves going off. And I mean, it was just frightening. And then they came back across the river. They lived in a village called Little Prairie. Well, today we have Little Prairie, but it's not the original village. They moved it after that. But everybody was gone. Everything was tore up, and there was nobody there in the land. They found the family where they went. But it was an unbelievable amount of earthquake. It's just amazing.
Oh, it was an amazing.
Yeah.
UFOs are attractions to type of energy like that. And the energy still mm-hmm. must have been enormous. You know, so they attracted something like that. Hey, you know, they're not, of course, UFOs is back in the Egyptian days. And they got pictures of the
rip
and stuff like that, you know.
Yep.
I don't
know. Yeah, they're hieroglyphics. Yeah.
Ancient astronauts. Yeah.
Yeah. I know, Ohio, out here, I'm at Ohio. They have lots of sightings out here. And yep. They actually have Wright-Patterson Air Force bases down the road. So, that I think might attract them too.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I know they said they had a nice nuclear power, you know, where they had nuclear power plants. They did bases like you're discussing, with your bomb and missiles.
Yeah.
Your missiles, stuff like that. But yeah, I can see that. But I'm curious, what did I ever read with that Wiggly Stryver? When he was taken, he was supposed to be kidnapped that Wiggly Stryver. He wakes up like 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, hears this noise downstairs. He thinks he has an intruder. Well, he goes out to investigate, and all he sees is some little gray, shadowy looking thing. Next thing he knows nothing. He wakes up in a ship thing. You know, he's been kidnapped or taken. You know. So.
Huh.
So that one's serious with fire. That's creepy as hell. I wouldn't want that to happen to me, for sure. But yeah, I believe we're not alone.
Me and Mike done a lot of investigating over the last 5 years together. Run into some pretty strange things that has happened.
That is for sure, my friend.
And we did that TV show, and it's they're going to have a segment on it up here coming up this month, I think. Our next
supposed to be something written down the first.
Huh? Mm.
Supposed to be somewhere between right now and the 1st of September, so.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A TV show called Truth to Legend. Supposed to be coming out. So, four different locations.
There's so many things happening when we were filming. It's unbelievable, you know. I wrote the book before the movie came out. So, anyway, the haunting of Ida, Oklahoma, Northwest Arkansas. This is packed with a lot of mystery and interest in it. And it has a lot to do with ghost hunting, and it even has remote viewing in it.
Oh, okay.
Huh?
Yeah, that's cool.
And a lot of the things we throw out, I remote view before we go. And I can find ghosts where most people can't. And things that also, other things. But I've been doing it since I was a kid, and I was taught, you know, how to remote view by an expert. It's a strange story, but I met this guy, and he got to be really close friends with me. He's just out of the Air Force. And I was having trouble learning how to, I was taking a college course. At the time, I was in high school, but I taking a college course. And I needed to learn how to do a Mohler chart. And the teacher said, if you don't pass this Mohler chart, nobody goes to next year's class. So I was upset. But anyway, I'm sitting down in Mabel, the town where you drink coffee with everybody every morning. And I was upset. I told him about it. He said, well, I know how to do the Mohler chart. I come teach you. He said, you come over to my house this weekend, and I'll show you. Okay. He gave me a list of numbers. He wrote a bunch of words on a piece of paper on the napkin. You memorize these words, they're memory hooks. I'll teach you how. Well, I memorized them. I didn't believe it, to be honest about it. But I memorized them. And I got to his place in 2 days. I was working on that Mohler chart using following his memory hooks. By the next weekend, I could do the thing with my eyes closed. And when I came to the mountain, I passed the test. At the next year, there was 5 in that class. How I made it, I don't know.
That's awesome.
But he was a remote viewer, but they didn't call it remote viewing. This was in 1966 when he started teaching me. And he called Seer. We got to drinking beer a lot after that. And he said, I went up to his apartment. He had all these numbers on his envelope. You know, and four numbers on each other. He had about 10 of them. I said, what are these? Half drunk, you know. He said, oh, I'm a seer. I said, what is a seer? And he says, well, I've been trained by the Air Force how to see things past, present, future. I said, hey, that's something I need to do. He says, here, get your memory hooks out. He taught me well. You got to be careful. I'm telling you, it can drive you crazy if you get into the wrong place at the wrong time. Just like, you know, you get glimpses. When you remote view and you get glimpses a little bit, you put them all together and you summarize them again. But sometimes when you remote view, you don't summarize nothing, you're there. I can't explain it. But just like, I'd be thinking about a subject or something, all of a sudden I'm there. I see it. I feel it. I touch it. Me and Mike, we were down at Charleston, Arkansas. We went to the Army down there.
Clarksville.
Huh?
Is it Clarksville?
Oh, yeah, Clarksville. Okay. But anyway, we went down to the Army down there, and before we got there, I said, Mike, and I remote viewed it, and there's a little girl screaming. And I'd seen her. I was there. She was. It was a far place. she was a little girl. She had an old gown on, cotton, and a spot of fire got on it. She got a fire, and she was running out there. I was scared of her. I could touch it, but I couldn't do nothing to help her. And I asked them if they ever had a fireplace. They said, no, this is built in 1938. Well, come to find out, they had paranormal investigators there before. And they picked up a little girl screaming. Mike, I tell you, that's what they told us.
Yeah.
We don't know why she was screaming, but what it is, someplace near on that property, there was a log house, and she caught a fire, and she burned, and I guess burned to death.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it was a suicide.
I smell her hair burning.
Yeah.
Something like
that. Yeah, unfortunately, that suicide that went there too. The man had killed himself outside in the back, hung himself in that rafter, that overhead beam. That place was amazing. It was the old armory in the Parksville. And there's some places, I think, ran it. You know, when that right, he was stonemason, third degree or something. The guy that was with us that day, he was a stonemason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, they...
Oh, he was talking about the Masonic Lodge, wasn't he?
Right, Masonic Lodge.
Masonic Lodge, yeah. The Masonic Lodge there, both had shadow people and a black dog run through the place.
Right.
Yeah, I remember that. And they told all kinds of stories about the place. We ain't been there yet, but we need to go.
This is another one of those places, Scott, that you get the vibe from. When you walk in the door, instant vibe. You can feel it. You know perfectly well if something's going on here. I mean, you know, it looked like an old castle. You know, so it was a originally the armory and everything. Stonemason was a man who ran the thing. You know, it was amazing. A picture of us in the electric chair they used for a haunted house or something. That was a weird feeling. I remember that real well.
Well, there was a lot of ghosts at the armory. We picked up so much stuff. Yeah, the armory. I know you're not familiar with it, Scott, but it looks like an old castle. It was built by the WPA.
The turrets and everything. I mean,
you were in the old castle. All we needed was a moat.
You should get busy and do one. get the backhoe.
But we shut the lights out. Mike had a camera on me, and there was orbs half the size of me bouncing off of me. I've never seen anything like that anywhere at any time.
Wow.
Yeah, that was an interesting investigation. We went back on Halloween night and had to be here. High school kids there on their foot down. And my cousin Sidman with us. And I had this one of the little dolls that I don't think I showed it to you, but anyway, we put that down on the table. And I never, rarely ever do any EVP work. I got a doll sitting taken out of my house in Van Buren. And this is another one of these cursed objects I don't know what to talk with. And I told them flat out, they just begged me to do an EVP. I said, okay, I'll do it one time. I know we're going to like to do it around this thing. Looks like a Gerber beige, but it's got a football helmet on. I got it in glass, it's been blessed. I never take it out. I said, I know I'm not going to talk to you. These people don't believe you're real. I am real. I caught that bigger than that.
Yes.
I am real. And I never take it out of that jar. It stays in there. I'll send you a picture of that one. Dude.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was taken out of my house. The little doll set thing. This lady that had it, her daughter was in the car. And she was basically sleeping with it the other day. Had it in her bed.
Ah.
Yeah, so please take this with you. Just take me out. Okay, I will take it with you. And after I got home, sure enough, this is no joke, I found scratches on my leg. I mean, bloody. My leg was bloody. I got pictures of that as well, I'll show you. I said, nope, I'm doing something with you. I'm not going to throw you away, but I found a jar, and I put in the blessed oil all around the bed, and I never come out there. I got to sit in just near my desk, so I was thinking, I'm supposed to get rid of it. I said, well, no, it's kind of a overall curiosity thing. I'll never take it out of that jar. It's like the old leprechaun. I'll keep the Chester, keep him out. You know, so, I'll send you pictures of them and see it.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, Jerry and I have been, we've done a lot of things over the last 5-10 years. It's just amazing. You know, with the Enola projects were some of the best. The library, you know, from the Key Fields, it used to be the former mortuary, and of course, you're going to have spirit activity in that kind of an environment, you know. I even got a sensation one night. There was a book, when I turned around, there was a book come out about 1/4 inch off the shelf. You just did that number. And every time I tried to catch it, it quit. But every time I turned around, it popped back out like 1/4 inch. just to screw with me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
they like to do that.
Yeah, they'd be able to do that. They'll screw with
you. Yeah, they will.
The car museum across the street, it's called Mike Fuller's Automobile Museum. Amazing, amazing place. Built $100,000 of cars, old antique cars. And the building was an old World War II era building. It was built at WWC, World Works Commission. That's what I was, WC. WCM or something. I can't remember the knowledge. But anyway, it's another one that has this vibe to just walk in and just feel it. And that's, I know it's just very old. I mean, it's been old, you know, back in the oil field days and stuff like that, cow ranchers, and rough and tumble. So yeah, you're going to get places like that, you're going to get haunted. I mean, it's all. So, yeah, we've had some experiences. That one with Elvis, man. That, well, even the guy doing the TV show blew his mind. Man, I never heard anybody do something Elvis would call it. I don't know how Elvis would have felt about it. I'm sure he wouldn't have liked it. He might have found it amusing. I don't know. But who knows?
We have a fire museum out here. I go there at least once a year.
Well, that's cool.
That's awesome. I get a lot of stuff out of there.
That.
It's in Mansfield.
Mansfield?
Yeah.
Did you tell me you all went to that prison there at Moundsville?
What's prison? That?
The prison, was that at Moundsville? I can't think of the name of it. But
oh, I'm not sure. Were prisons talking about the...
Okay, yeah, it's a Shawshank Revenge thing.
Oh, it's Hobbs the Reformatory.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, that's where I went to a Paracon.
That's another one of my to-do list things I want to check out someday. I'd get around to fully retirement, I could do some traveling. That'd be really awesome.
Yeah. You're out next May. Maybe come out and we'll both go to it. I mean,
that'd be good. I appreciate that. Yeah. That'd be great.
I'm not sure how far you are away. Hours from me.
I live in Hewitt, Dallas. And I'm in the Muldrow, so we're talking probably 15 hours, I guess, drive, something like that. Did you drive it?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I would think around South Florida, but it's usually around 15, 20 hours to get there.
it took me, my daughter and I went to Wetland Hills in Louisville. We left at 2:00 on a Thursday morning. We were in Louisville. About 12 hours later, and I wasn't driving fast. I was doing the speed limit and everything. You know, considering it was about a 12-hour drive to get to Louisville. You know, we got a motel in Elizabethtown, so this was right at 12 hours. Then we went from Elizabethtown, went down Saw Waverly just to get a look at it. You know, down the road to get to it. They wouldn't let us in until it was time for an appointment. That was a cool looking place, you know. Famous building, you know, finally got a chance to check it out and run in front of it. So we had a good time that night. That's another tale all to itself. We'd have to come up here sometime. I'd love to go to the reformatory. It'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
We're tinkering around, throwing ideas around this area. You know, we got the Missouri State Penitentiary. And I still want to go to Villisca. That's one of my
things. I love to go there.
In fact, I caught one of the old Ghost Adventures episodes last night on Dish Network. I recorded it. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I'm going to try to watch it tonight. When they go to Villisca.
Yeah.
So that's one of my little to-do list things.
Oh, yeah. I caught my ghost hunting bucket list.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. My wife has been
the same. I'm on my second bucket now, so.
Yeah, I'm my wife thinks I'm just hopelessly insane, but I have a big idea. If I had the money, we could do it, the way the means to do it. I want to go overseas to Iraq and investigate the ruins of Babylon. That's what I would love to do.
Oh, yeah.
I'm more likely to get pushed off a parapet or something, but, wind up up to my neck in sand.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just one of my big plans.
I would want to go to Ireland, Scotland.
Yeah, my spouse has got family that live around the old Greyfriars Cemetery in Edinburgh.
Oh, man.
If I understand my research correctly, that's one of the oldest cemeteries on Earth. Mm. It's got dates back to the pagans. Ooh. So, yeah, they claim the my son's dog just hit me in the leg. Oh, fuck it, I'm done. I'm going to go for my son's dog just coming here pulling me around the leg when I was talking about Babylon. the Greyfriars is, it's got history dating back to the days of the pagans and the druids. And they claim that place is just sometimes evil. Mm. I don't know. I give it a whirl, I'm too old not to worry about dying, I guess. But I give it a try.
We all got to go sometime, right?
Yeah, that's it, man. I'm back.
Mike's talking about graveyard wall, though, and we were doing the investigation in Dover, Arkansas, and the place was very haunted, it had a portal coming in from a graveyard. And right across the street at one time was that woman showed us a picture, was a high school, a very big high school back in the
20s. Right, yeah.
And I put my phone down on the bed, and I was going to talk on it. And all of a sudden, it started talking back to me, and I started asking questions. And for 45 minutes, we used my phone to talk to two ghosts, one named Sarah, and I forgot the other one, Mike. Do you remember?
Sarah. I'm sorry, but I can't remember. Was it a boy or something?
No, it was a girl. Two girls.
Two girls, yeah. Sarah and I remember the Sarah.
But anyway,
I know you're talking about.
This went on. My phone, they just bad talking, it typing. They talked in their voice and it typed. And this went on for about 45 minutes, found my phone about half dead. And then the thing is, it was incredible. Because on the way back, Mike, I charged my phone in Mike's car. And he was going to take and film what we had taken. He got his camera out and started filming it. He filmed for about 5 minutes, and all of a sudden it says, "My name is Sarah, my name is Sarah, my name is Sarah." That's one of those.
This house you're talking about is very, very unique. This was one of the ones that to this day, we started this in January of 2018. And the lady that used to live there called me today just to say how you're doing and so on. But the minute I walked in her house, it's one of those things where it's a small frame house, it's just a one bedroom house. The claims were out the roof. She's seen a wrestler looking spirit looking at her, built like a ring, like a Hulk Hogan thing. And then she woke up one night with a girl. And this girl was talking about, I think her name was Sarah. She even drew it to her. You know, picture this. She was leaning over her bed looking at it like that. And Scott, I have never in my life, you know, I've done a lot of EVP work with different recorders. I've used every technique I could possibly think of. You know, I picked a jar, you know, I picked like a glass jar, put the recorder up in the glass jar. You get rid of every bit of outside interference, mm-hmm. white noise, whatever. I've tried it all. And I mean, this one particular night, my friend Bobby, he had a little cheapy Walmart camera. He was filming me. The minute my spirit box came on, I said, "This house is cold." I said, "Who are you?" He said, "Bobby Goldsboro, Mother Effer." I was friends with Mother Effer. Yeah, I don't know why he called himself Bobby Goldsboro. And then he said, you know, he goes in, "The house is cold. I don't want to be here." And I'm ragging on me and ragging on poor Bobby. Told him to piss off. It wasn't even dark enough. But this house was very, very, very strange. I mean, it was hard to explain. It had a combination of everything. You know, the people who used to own it, 1953, the man that used to own the house, his son died in the highway right in front of the house. Well, 20 years later, 1973, the owner of the house comes driving up the highway there. This house was isolated out in the middle of the country. There shouldn't even been a car in this room. But he comes around the curve, has a heart attack, and veers off the road right into his living room and died right there. Well, the son had died 20 years before, right in the middle of the highway. The only car that showed up, he got right in front of him, killed him. 14-year-old boy. So, yeah, it was amazing. Well, the house was pretty much wrecked. But instead of tearing it all up, hauling it off, they buried that house underneath the house that's sitting there now. So, oh my gosh, man. I mean, there was one thing right up there. Another.
Wow.
We went down, one of my friends was with us that one day, and we blessed the house. We put water, oil. Mm-hmm. Calmed down for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and next thing you know, it's back up again. And we found out later that her son, the lady that we're dealing with, tried to help her. Her son was unfortunately in the devil worship. Yeah, he was in the dead heavily, in Satan worship. And apparently, they were down at some relative's house. She saw what looked like a pig, the pig creature of some sort, crawling, not walking, but crawling along the floor. And you see a shadow up on the wall. And just now, once you've seen it, it's gone. So we think that's what was going on. It was just demonic, and pure evil going on in that house. I mean, man, it was something. But Miss Branson was burned, she was scratched, and bruised. I had my hair pulled. I had my hair. This is real. Lift it up. It's like that, you know. And then let go of it in their kitchen. Yeah, I remember that really well. The cold spots. I mean, you know, you can go about the proverbial cold spots. I ran everything, different recorders, and, you know, I used my cameras. I even used my cell phone, you know, everything. Just different techniques. I even stick it under a pillow. To see if there's anything just shuffling around like in their bedroom. You know? So it was, you know, it was amazing. Truly amazing.
Well, that was definitely a haunted house, no doubt about it.
I've
seen a shadow figure move around and head towards the left. And Mike looked at me, he said, "Man, something's holding my arm. I'm freezing to death." Remember, Mike?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he was, I mean, it was cold. And I went in there and
you can feel it. I mean, it came up on my right side. You know, and it's just like, it's like I'm stepping half in, half out of it, like a 40 below zero cooler. I mean, it was just ice cold over here. You know, it was amazing. I will never forget that one. That's
one got a story like Mike's got there, but this happened about 30 years ago when it was in Missouri, and I was at a musical at a dam out in Missouri, and I was sitting there on the end, and all of a sudden, my wife, she had the same abilities as I did a lot of ways, and she understood it. But my arm turned, and it was 100 degrees underneath the shade tree, July had been admitted, my arm turned completely ice. I mean, you could see ice forming on my arm. I knew what it was. In my mind, I went back and I seen who was touching me. It was a young girl, about 14, dressed in a period type dress. And I asked her, I says, who are you? And she says, I said, where are you buried at? She said, I'm buried down the creek about a mile, half mile, maybe 3-4 miles. We talked a few minutes and things went back and forth. And man comes by and he picks my arm, reaches over and touches it. He says, are you, why are you so cold? That's ice. And I said, well, I got a couple points. But anyway, we had a party out to come back and back that November. And my wife said, well, you know, that ghost come down here. Maybe let's go down here and see if we can communicate with him. So we walked down the creek about a half, 3/4 of a mile, just like the girl said. And there was 3 graves there. And her grave was supposed to have been on the other side. She was on the other side. We couldn't communicate, or didn't. But it actually happened. I mean, you know, that was, never have I ever been that cold. I mean, ice forming in July and 95 degrees or something to change.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Do you want me to show me your EVPs?
Yeah, actually. I've got them wrote down, so they're all timestamps, so you should be able to. He's got a video on. Give me about a couple minutes.
Yeah, it's something that I guess I've never paused between each one, but is this all from the same place?
A couple from the old Dog Patch theme park, and a couple from, I think the first or second come from his house. The first two are.
Okay. I'll play them through. I can always get back and play over again.
Okay.
So,
they're all time sensitive. You'll see what I heard him saying, so it shouldn't be, you know.
Okay.
Start this recorder now. It's February. Okay, you don't want me to record you. Is that what it is? What did you say? Tell me your name, please.
Now, which one was the Dog Patch?
Yeah, the last one was Dog Patch. Dog Patch,
okay.
Yeah.
Satan one?
Yeah, Satan, yeah. Again, in the wrong place, I call that a chapel. There was a chapel up there, where I called it. You know, we're not using the chapel, but I mean, it used to be marriage place. But it was this here, Stephen. Great. Thank you, gentlemen. The first two meet our poison, that was in his house. I caught that in your house here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the first two. You know.
just told me all about it, man. The other ones we just called various different places, you know, because first it was his house, the last one was the dog's house. Go figure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We've been very forced out with every 3 to 5 years. That's cool. Yeah, when you get the spirit box, when you get the straight EVPs, and they're clear, I mean, that they're like, I mean, they're hard to get.
Yeah, those are class A's. Every so often, you know, the spirit box, I've always had good luck with it. You know, that's just the old school one. It scans the radio frequency and so on. Even real story.
Yeah.
It's a white noise, which allows spirits to stick to it. I've had a lot of success with that one. I tried 11. And it's, I didn't really quite get the hang of that one. But the old 7 there, speed up, it still works. It does a good job.
This isn't getting tossed, right?
One of my newer cameras has got a high density. I went in and bought a high density mic.
No.
And so this was, you know, cost pretty good stuff. But you'd be amazed. I mean, I've even used MP3 players. You know, back in the very beginning, it cost an astounding cost. The same thing a teenage kid would wear while they're walking down the street. I don't know, they even tell those things. I've used a lot of different techniques over the years.
Somebody from Manchester, England. Hi, Virgil.
Hello, Virgil.
Hey, long way away.
The big thing is England. I like England.
Yeah, just don't hear, if that's your five sitting. If that was in English, but you're playing, yeah. So, cool. That's cool. It's just certain.
Yeah, when I first started, I used MP3 players. And I had one that was really, really good. My baby, a red one. That could pick up the beautiful audio, and I wound up losing it. I don't even know what I put down somewhere. Gone. That was a pain.
I'd lost up that one of the moves that I'll have to, so. Oh well. Got plenty of stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, it's just tinkered with over the years, you know, just whatever you find that does the best job, what works for you, you know. And my little RCA recorder was always my most best one ever used. But that little MP3 player, man, I didn't remember anything. It had a microphone on it. It was bigger than some of the other ones, you know. And it would absolutely pick up some beautiful, beautiful, beautiful audio. I used that down one first couple of things every year. I used that one. And kicked myself this day for losing. But, you know, live and learn.
Yeah. I'll see what I'm going to get to places that it's hard to get anyone now, but I'm here in Ohio. I've got people in Pennsylvania that I'm originally from, and they therapy once or twice a year now, but I can always get back to the fire museum. That's out of the road, so. I've been like 4 times now, so.
That's cool. I'd love to check that out with you sometime. Are you going to ever get an opportunity to send me some info on that, would you? Some information on it?
Yeah, I'd love to see that. Yeah, I can do it. It's Mansfield Fire Museum. I'll give you a link to it at the end of the show.
Yeah, send me an email. I appreciate that. I'd love to see that.
And then for Jerry, in the end, I will put your link to the Amazon for your book. In the comments at the end of the show. So.
Well, I want to thank you for having us on, Scott. We appreciate it.
No problem. A lot of fun. I'll talk about you at first and ghosts.
Well, you know, the UFO thing.
I've got a book or two of this book about ghosts. It tells pretty well like it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, the UFO thing, like if you had the old, back in the Twilight Zone, they had an episode where a guy had a stopwatch, he could stop time. Do that out of like a very 51, just, you know, stop, but they can't shoot you. Go in and look around, you know, just break the, you know, like a whole box motor you could do, just kick the door down or kick the gate down, just go in there and just look around, and probably wind up getting somebody shooting at you. Yeah, it's fascinating, it really is. I don't want to be abducted by one, I mean, but I wouldn't mind seeing one.
Well, you know, here's the thing with ghost hunting. You have to have a special aptitude for it because it can be dangerous and it can
be. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you have to be extraordinarily.
Yeah.
You have to not open your mind. You have to keep your mind to yourself. Don't allow something to enter into your mind and take possession of you. You don't want that to happen, so you have to protect yourself. It takes a lot of patience.
You
can't
go home with you, can't you, Mike?
Yeah.
You go home with you, can't you?
They can't. They will go home with you. I've had them in the car. I've had them in the car with me. You know, I've had to tell them to get out of the car. You know, so yeah. I mean, came back from one investigation one night, and I felt somebody pushing a knee into my back. Well, there's no problem. There's nobody in the car but me.
Yeah.
Put the knee in my back, with back of the seat, pushing on me. That I don't know who you are or what you're doing, but nothing personal, but you've got to get out of here. Yeah. Anyway. Well, yeah, Scott, I appreciate you having us on tonight. I really do, man. It's a lot of fun.
Sure, yeah. A lot of fun. Except we'll get back on again with you guys. Do you guys take any plans to go anywhere else this year?
Yeah, we're going to try to go back to Nyberg, maybe in September. There's projects on the ground. I got to write a project I'm trying to do for American Paranormal Press. And we got our TV show, should be out here pretty soon. Hopefully we'll be able to get that all out of it. And as soon as it shows, I'll let you know. I'll let you know about it as well. And it's got audio set to capture these places we've been talking about, the museum and the library and a place called Redland. So it's pretty cool stuff, you know. Gives kind of an idea of some of our work. If anybody wants to check out our YouTube channel, you know, I got YouTube, about 43 channels and 43 videos on YouTube, and two of them from his house, the last one was from his house, and it's remarkable stuff on there. If you want to check them out, you're welcome to him.
There's a place out here called Prospect Place. I like to go there.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I think ghost adventures went there. This part of the underground, what is one of the underground railroad?
Prospect Place, yeah. Yeah.
Cool, yeah. Yeah, I've heard of that. I'd much like to see that one. That's pretty neat, too.
That's right down the road, too, about an hour. So.
Cool. Yeah, like I said, we got the Nyberg thing. We'll try to do that again here pretty soon. I've got a friend, kind of part of my group's name, Bobby. He's got some ideas he wants to try. He's talking about Belisco, dumping it around. We do have a place in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. It used to be an insane asylum. And unfortunately, some of these places charge you out to the zoo to go there.
They all do.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of the OTM, but they charge like $2,000 a night.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know, Waverly was $200-something just a night there. I think Ballista charges about $400, but you can have up to 8 to 10 people with you. The Broken Bow thing, you got to have at least 1,000 with the 10 people. Which makes it crowded, there's not that big of a place. But it is, Nick Roth was there, Dunsman. So he investigated the place, it was pretty cool.
But anywho, yeah, it was good. Have to get together sometime, bud. We always get together and go out there and check out the Moundsville thing. That would be neat. I enjoy it.
Definitely. You guys make a road trip.
I would love to.
A couple of different places to choose from. So.
Cool. Well, we'll make that one of our road trip ideas. Rob, Mr. Hampton.
Yeah.
Jerry's up for it.
Well, he's a go-getter. This gentleman right there, he's a go-getter.
Oh yeah.
Got more energy than his little finger. I got more water.
Yeah, once he gets going, you can't stop him.
No, he's like that X-Files character Juggernaut.
It's like your average out of money.
Absolutely, man, absolutely. But anyway, we'll have to do something. But I'll send you some pictures that little statue thing. I told you about the little doll's head. You got to see that crazy thing, please. Pretty creepy.
Yeah.
It's just a long, sad tale behind that thing. And you have to, you'll see what I'm talking about, man. I'll show it to you. I probably shouldn't have it in the house. Dana's going to wake up and everything's out of the jar and talk to me around the hall.
Well, yep. Right, wrap it up.
Yeah, I've got to pack it up and get home. Unfortunately, wife's going to have to do it.
Yeah.
So. Well, thank you again, Scott.
No problem. It's a pleasure to have you guys on. And get you back on again. You got to get more investigation under your belt.
I can help with you then.
Oh, you guys talk, I got to sit for hours and talk to you about, the paranormal. Yeah, I'm so.
That's a fascinating subject. It really is, it's just taking through all the memories and everything. I mean, it's just amazing. The places we checked out and all this kind of stuff. And some dark places, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. I can't wait for years to come, what they come up with,
Sure, man. I'm telling you.
I look forward to that.
Yeah, with the, like I was saying, without fear, you can't handle courage, so that's what it usually is,
Yeah.
Go in and seek the unseen. Okay, well, gentlemen, I guess I'll wrap up here and let my son have his room back. Grandson has his room back, if he wants to come in. And I'll send you some stuff on my email, bud.
Sounds good. I'll put that link in the field book then, in the comments.
Very good. All right. You take care, man. I'll talk to you later, okay?
Good night. Okay. Have a good night.
All right. You guys take care. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, next time, everybody, happy hunting, and good night.